All right, tonight our title of our message is Our Need to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we've talked before about the fact that we all, at one time or the other, have had a goal that we would like to accomplish in this life. It doesn't matter really what that goal is, but if we are to reach it, there are certain things that we must do. Now, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that we must first know what we want. Then secondly, we must be willing to put forth the effort it takes to accomplish it. Now, if we're not willing to set a direction and endeavor to get there, you just aimlessly bumble around day after day after year after month. But in our text this evening, we'll see God also has presented you and I a goal that we're to reach in our Christian life. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. If we're all there in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is his excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight for being our God, being our Savior, Lord. There's not anything that we could say enough to appreciate what you've done for each and every one of us, that we might be able to spend eternity with you. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. And I ask that you give each one of us here a special blessing in this evening, and that you would bless this church, Lord, and help us to grow as a lighthouse in this community. I pray tonight for our armed forces, those who are in harm's way this evening, that you might protect and bring them home, Lord, but that you would just work in their hearts also, that they would come to know the need for you. Now I pray that you bless the message and the messenger. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name, for his sake. Amen. Now this evening we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about taking our visions and goals we have for our Christian lives to the next level. The word vision is one of the things that we must have if we're going to reach that goal. The Bible speaks of this in Proverbs 29:18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, we're not talking about the God giving you a special vision or a dream at night or go into a trance, although he will, by the Holy Spirit, encourage you to increase your interest in spiritual things. Now, I remember at different times in my life, I knew what I wanted. That's not to say that I accomplished even half of what I wanted. I was probably about 13. I don't know whether I've told you this before or not, but I just knew I could take a generator, a starter, and a battery and make it run forever. Well, my theory was that running the starter motor off the battery connected by a belt to the generator would keep the battery charged. But beside the fact that it didn't work, my dad really needed those items on the tractor to make it run. So, needless to say, I was given very, very limited time to get them back on the tractor and have them running. Now, I learned later that this theory was called perpetual motion. And to this day, no one has been able to make a contraption that does that, so I don't feel quite so bad. That's been several years ago, but there was a time also that I was given several buckets of walnuts, black walnuts. Have you ever hauled a black walnut?
Yes.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever done this? You know what kind of a job it is? You take each black walnut, break a rather soft shell off the nut, and it turns your hands a terrible shade of green with a tint of yellow that doesn't come off for a long time. So me, I made a wooden trough or a box that would fit around the car tire, and I jacked up the car or the truck, whichever I had at the time, And I placed that trough under the wheel with about a half inch to spare. I started the vehicle, put her in gear, and started throwing walnuts under the wheel. Now, it did kind of work. There was a few stuff left on them. But again, I did not get an attaboy from Dad. The attaboy was, he went, shut off the vehicle, and gave me a hammer, and he says, get it done. So anyhow, I said all this to say this, the visions of the things we want to accomplish, sadly, generally has to do with worldly things. We'd be so much better off if we begin to visualize something that we could do for God, something that we could do in return for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and the love that God showed for us. Now, when I got into church many years ago, many of my visions began to be church-related. I always saw something needed to be done and just went and done it. Over the years that when I first got into a church, we added two, and I don't know, I was there probably for 7 or 8 years. We built two additions, added a parking lot, re-roofed it. Now, I didn't do that. My boys did that. Sited it and built partitions. And these things I just love doing. Every church I've ever gone into, that's what I see things when I walk in, and I just, it's always a goal to get done what I'd like to see done. But every Christian that is truly converted or born again will have at least at first a desire to do what the Lord wants them to do. This will always happen because we have just received the Spirit of God into our bodies where it will live until the day we die. Now, I'm not saying that they will always follow God's will in our lives. I'm just saying that He does have a personal goal for each of us. Now, you see, upon conversion, we all know that here, upon conversion, for the first times our lives are made whole. We are now complete with God. We are a part of God. As the born-again believers, we are now complete with the image of a body, a soul, and a spirit. God tells us in Genesis 1:26, when He first decided to create man, He was going to make a man in His image. And God said, let us make man in our image. Our image. Okay? And the clearest picture of this triune image is found in 1 John 5:7. Which, by the way, if you're looking in an NIV, it won't be there. But here's what it says. Really makes a foundation for the triune God. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's the plainest place in the Bible that you will be able to see the triune God. Now, we see our image now is made up three in one. The Father, God's image is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And some question the fact whether Christ is God. Now, there's people out there today that don't think Christ is God. He's just a good guy. But if you look at John 1 through 3, and you know, we can find many, many times all the way to the book of Revelation that Jesus is the Word. But in John 1, beginning in 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So anything we see around us, or anything we have, or any place we live, any part of this earth, including the earth, was made by Christ, was made by the Word. It is this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes the change in you and I. When we get converted, when we're born again, this Holy Spirit makes a change in our life. And it's because He is God. He is God and He now is a part of us. And then look at 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27. And He says He's there to teach us. He's there to teach you and I. In 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of Him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaching the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide. So ye shall abide in him. You see here, God introduced into us and become a part. He anoints us with a special gift of learning his ways. Now, with that, we were anointed, but whether we learn or not is up to us. The word anointing here has the meaning of a special endowment, and the Bible calls it an unction. It says in 1 John 2:20, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." But you know, it can't be done unless we have a vision to do it. Can't be done unless we endeavor to do it. I was just talking yesterday to somebody about the change I made when I got saved, and I know I've told you this before, but it was my first-hand illustration, and your first-hand illustration probably is the best one to tell somebody about how you were led to the Lord. Now, I know when I was saved, I had a tremendous desire to follow God's direction. I'm talking about the second I got up from my knees. All these things were rolling through my mind, what I'm doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And being a new Christian, I could only guess what that direction was. So there were some things I did. First, I quit smoking, because I knew that was defiling the temple of God. Second thing I did was I quit playing music and singing in bars. And I did other things that I personally felt that I should do or should not do, whatever the case was, But you see, that was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that made me desire to be different. Separate myself from the world, like 2 Corinthians 6:7. 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you." Now you see where I failed there, is I needed leadership. I needed leadership, and the old devil works just like he works on everybody. He worked on me. I was saved by a great man of God, Homer Graven, in Ashland. And it wasn't more than, what, 5-6 weeks till I got transferred to Akron. So I was guessing, more or less, how I should be, how God would have me to live. And with this, I want you to turn to our text for this evening, and we're going to read all three verses. But you see, what led me to do these things to begin with was the Holy Spirit. And you see, Ephesians 5:15-18, it says, "See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You see, I knew I was doing wrong, because I had become a different person. I had a different heart in me, and God was working on me to reconcile myself to him. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, this is a verse that I quote quite often, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." See, I was a new creature that day when I got up, or that night when I got up off my knees. I was different. I was different. It says, "Old things are passed away." I want to get rid of the old things. "Behold, all things are become new." All things, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now you see, I was in the position at that time of trying to reconcile myself the best way I knew how. I knew I was different. I began to struggle, not realizing that it was my old nature that I first had to overcome. I had to fight the old nature in order to be completely reconciled. I was really trying to walk circumspectly or wisely without even reading or hearing Ephesians 5:15, and God telling me, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So we all know the story. I've told you it before. It wasn't too long. before I went the way of 90%. And I'm sad to say that that's probably a pretty fair number of people that are converted. Some are, some aren't, but they gradually fall back into the world and allow Satan and his culture to rule their life, just like I did. I did it. I was fighting in a battle I really didn't understand. I was trying to fight it by myself. And it was not until years later I knew how. I knew exactly how to win that battle over my old spirit. When I was first preached, not me, but when it was preached to, Ephesians 6:11-12. There it is, folks. Here is the way you overcome that old, the old devil. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see that old earthly spirit of ours? That is the devil in there working on us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now this spiritual battle that I was fighting, I could have never won. I could have never won. It's impossible for you and I to fight on our own. We need to put on that armor of God. You see, I had not allowed the Holy Spirit to lead my life. I fell prey to the oldest, most powerful force on this earth, and that's the prince of this world. I fell prey to him just like many, 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 many Christians do today. I should have allowed the Spirit of God to lead me, and I would have searched out and found God's will for my life. Now, we know all know Christians that when they were converted, praise God, they were persistent in finding God's will for their lives. These people, from the time they were converted, were on fire. I've had several of them in my pastoral lifetime. Man, they get saved, and they just, they almost go around you. You know, you can't keep up with them. But this fire that they have is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's guiding them, keeping them on track. These are those that, as our text says, are filled with the Spirit. It says, be not drunk with wine, but in excess, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this verse is what I want to talk about a little bit this evening. To start with, it might seem just a little strange. The first time I read it, I thought, it's just a little bit strange that Paul uses drunkenness and in the same breath begins to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But you see, those Ephesians in those days, they would have understood this. They would have known exactly what Paul was talking about. Because in those days, it was a pagan belief that God dwelt in the blood of the grape, or the juice of the grape. So therefore, in their minds, the more wine they drank, and the more possessed or intoxicated with the wine, the more he would become possessed with his God. Sounds like a good religion for a drunk. You know, that's what it sounds like to me. But Paul's telling these Ephesians that this was not the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And although we as Christians do not, most don't even remember or know that that pagan religion was there, but that's what that was all about. But the majority of people today, the majority of Christians, do not have a clue as to what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Many think, it's too late for me. Some use the excuse that they're too old. Some say they're too young and they want to wait till they're older. Then all of a sudden they get older and then they think it's too late. You see, folks, it's never too late or never too early to be filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a very simple thing. It simply means that you allow the Spirit of God to lead you. You just allow what God has put in us and the Spirit. Just allow him to lead you. That means you're filled with the Spirit. We all know that you just aren't going to get any more Spirit than you already got the day you were saved. And I hear some say all these different things and about how what you become like when you get saved, and you know, you roll around in the aisle, all this kind of stuff. But there's no way I would ever believe that, because I never saw God revealed. I never saw Christ revealed as a barking dog or somebody rolling in the aisles and yelling. All through the Bible, I see Jesus as a meek and gentle person. I see Jesus as one that never changes. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, He's not going to change for you today. He's not going to change tomorrow. He's not going to go along with the pop culture. He's not going to go along with the churches bringing the rock and roll stuff into the church. That's the world. Separate yourself from that stuff. And He's not changed and never will. Now, our old nature, when you get right down to it, our old nature, that's the culprit. My friend, that is the culprit. Our worldly, that's the nature that keeps us from being led by the Spirit. This is a battle that you and I need to fight. And if we don't fight, we'll never win. There's many enemies that fight in this old nature of ours. It keeps us from allowing the Spirit to work in our fleshly. And we have to learn to drive them out. We have to learn to understand when we say, well, I should be in Sunday school, but I'm going to stay in bed. That's an enemy you need to drive out. We must drive out the enemy that keeps you from attending on Wednesday and Sunday night. Drive out the enemy that keeps you from church on Sunday morning. Drive out the enemy that keeps you from forgiving your brothers and sisters. We have to drive out that enemy that keeps you and I from having the desire to see souls saved. Here in our area and around the world, you must drive out that enemy. That enemy that keeps you from handing out tracts or giving to faith promise. You see, there's a lot of enemies in this old nature. Satan is a powerful, powerful tool in us. But if we take on the whole armor of God, we can beat the old devil down. It says, submit yourself to God and he'll just go away. But we have to first, before we get the Spirit leading us, we must first beat down that old fleshly spirit and allow the Spirit of God to lead us in our lives. You see, our problem is that fleshly spirit still is going to tell us when we walk out this door tonight that, you know, this is what you ought to do. Maybe you don't need to read your Bible tonight or in the morning. Maybe you just need to watch the news a little bit, have a cup of coffee, eat a few donuts, and take a nap. You know, amen. Yeah, me too. But you know, that's the old devil fighting you. That's the old devil. And I guarantee you, folks, you will never learn the things of God with a closed Bible. With a Bible gathering dust on the shelf, unction or no unction, you're not going to learn. You only learn from the Word of God. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by eating another donut and taking a nap. Truck drivers are good for that. They love stopping and getting donuts and coffee and yay, man, yeah. But anyhow, the Lord just led me to preach on that filling of the Holy Spirit, because that's where we, most of us, lack in our